Not Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 1. All right? Pray for Miss Betty. She's in the hospital over there at Baylor Heart. And looks like she's had some lung issues. They're trying to sort all of that out. And, of course, Brother Bill's back home from rehab, but still got quite a ways to go, and others in great need and all as well. But we pray for one another, look up to the Lord, and look forward to one day having a glorified and new body. Amen. I don't know about you, but some mornings I get up and I say, Lord, how about today? Wouldn't it be pretty nice to just, Lord, how about today for a new body? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Isn't that what the prophet said? That's right. That's what old John said. We thank God for that. Well, today I've got a lot of reading to do, so I hope I do it justice because I have so many teachers, school teachers in here, and you will scold me if I mess it all up. Well, let's see when we get done now. If you need a copy of the Bible, you should find one right there in front of you, and you can have that Word of God as our Christmas gift to you. Thank you for being here with us, and God bless you, visitors. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses, plural, and ministers, plural, of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. This book, this gospel, is written, of course, by the inspiration of God, but it's written by a medical doctor. It's written by Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke, of course, was a professional. And his introduction here that I just read to you, right out of the book of Almighty God, is written in one sentence, and it's written in professional language. It's written in legal language. And it's done so on purpose, and God oversaw the whole thing, so we know even God intended for that to be the case. Amen. Now, the good doctor, he's a good man, a good doctor, and a faithful Christian man. And he wanted his dear friend and fellow professional, Theophilus, a professional and likely, by the way, a Roman officer, because he refers to him here as with the title most excellent, which is a Roman title. So that's how we can put together this Theophilus. He was highly likely a Roman, high-ranking Roman officer. And indeed, all to know, he wants everybody to know, Dr. Luke wants everybody to know, the legitimacy, the legality, the legitimacy of these matters that he's going to discuss, and the proper formation of the conclusions which have been made and need to be made by you and me yet today. The proper conclusions about life and spiritual matters. Now notice, if you would, verse 1 compared to verse 3. Look at verse 1. See the words, forasmuch many have taken in hand, here we go, to set forth in order. Do you see that? It's important. To set forth in order. In order. Now, you engineers, you like things in order. Medical people, you like things in order. We, the people of God, rational, mind-thinking people, we like things decent and in order, do we not? This is in order. This is all legal. It is in order. Set forth in order. Then look at verse 3. He says, the second part of that, to write unto thee, what? Again, we see, in order. You see that? Twice, in one sentence, the professional Dr. Luke says, these things that are going to be presented to you, sir, most excellent Theophilus, are in order. These things are true. And they're not only true, but they are set in order. Everything is in order. In the great courtrooms of our country, if someone gets out of line, the judge sitting behind the bench, he will slap that thing down and say, get order in the house, order in the house. And God wants everything to be done decently and in order. So this is all in order. It's all proper. Now, why is that? Well, verse 4 answers the question. Why such an emphasis that all of this is set in order? He says that thou mightest know, but not just know, but to know the certainty, the absolute certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So he's already been instructed, but now he's going to continue on here, you know, in more things that he's going to be instructing his dear friend. Now this man is, of course, he's a powerful man. He's a citizen of Rome, right? Now, being he's an officer in Rome, being he is a Roman citizen, he's going to be under a lot of pressure not to believe in this Jewish Messiah. A lot of pressure is going to be bearing down on him and all the claims that are surrounding him. The young people and kids and maybe less instructed adults, I want you to know, today we live in an environment, it's not like it was 70 years ago in our nation. We live in an environment where you have a lot of pressure bearing down on you to try to get you to believe that this story of Jesus Christ is not the truth. But it is the truth. And all of these things are set in order. They are set in order so that you might know the certainty of these things because your eternity depends upon it. Now, I feel bad many times for the kids who are being raised today than when I was raised. And contrary to public opinion, I am not an old man, not yet. Now, I'm working on it. I'm not yet 60. 60, okay. After 60, you can call me an old man some of the time, not all the time. I have an ego. It's not that fragile, but I do have one. But our kids and our young people and a lot of people coming in here today in our nation are put under a lot of pressure not to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, not to believe the claims of the Holy Scripture, not believe in a God who can do the impossible. They want you to think there has to be a rational explanation for everything. They want you to be without faith. They would rather you not believe in God at all, nor His story, which is history in the unraveling, which is the story of God. But stick your head in the sand and not believe in Jesus. They'd rather you believe in fake science. Science so called, as the Scripture says. They'd rather you believe that you came from a mistake in nature millions of years ago. Of course, they were not there. But they'd rather you think that you came from a mistake than you came from the master of the universe. You came from God. And so Luke tells his friend, many have taken in hand. I'm not the only one that has told this exact story. See? Many have taken in hand. And Luke wrote his gospel pointing out that many other eyewitnesses also presented written histories of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the story of Jesus Christ has overwhelming proof of its legitimacy. Overwhelming proof. It is frankly silly for some professor today to suggest that Jesus Christ did not exist and live in Israel over 2,000 years ago, that he did not die on a Roman cross so ordered by a Roman ruler, and did not rise from the dead, according to the millions who have turned the world upside down because of it. The evidence is overwhelming to the historians. You do not have to check your brain at the door to be a fine Christian. You do not. Then Dr. Luke states, not only that, but these truths have been fulfilled among them. They've seen them. They've seen them all work out, commonly known, commonly believed, not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. Now, this goes to the credibility of the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jews and Gentiles, a very diverse group of people who are now believing these eyewitnesses, and many of them were themselves eyewitnesses having come into Israel. Great diversity in the people who are saying, this is true, this is true, this is true, this is true, this is true. And they put their lives on the line because of it. Many eyewitnesses. those that lived near were eyewitnesses, and those who were coming in to the city from far away, they were eyewitnesses. Now, if you can get 100 people to believe something in a small little town over here somewhere by some sleight of hand, that's one thing. But when all these different people groups from all over the world, Jews and Gentiles, professionals, common folk, highbrow folk, all the folk say, this is true, that's quite something else. That's quite something. And that's the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very credible story of the beginning, the first Noel. My point is, history and scholarship do not call Christianity a fairy tale. They don't call it, if you would, a bunny rabbit or an old woman living in a shoe. This is the true story of Almighty God lived out on this planet we call Earth. All of this credible recording and evidence brings us to the most important question for all men, women, boys, and girls today, and it's asked even by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. What think ye of Christ? Who is Christ? Whose son is He? What? That's the most important question in all the earth. What do you think of Jesus Christ? Whose son is He? The good news of Jesus Christ, as He says here, comes to us from eyewitnesses. Very diverse eyewitnesses that would do more than stand up in the courtroom of a city in one town, but stands up to all the courtrooms of the world that Jesus Christ is alive. Some of these many witnesses were the parents of John the Baptist. Not only that, but Mary, and of course Joseph. John starts his gospel off very differently. He starts off in eternity past, that the Word, the Logos, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then he jumps to the present day. Dr. Luke, being the humanitarian that he is, that he was, and still is, he's still alive, he starts with the humanity aspect of the Lord, the tender humanity aspect of the first Noel, in the great firsthand detail when he says in verse 3, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. See how detailed that is? You people that like detailed language, this is highly detailed. To write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. And I certainly would offer to you, if you're going to build your life on a Christian foundation, you need to know the certainty of these claims. You will never trust Jesus if you don't believe that He existed. You must believe that God is and that He's a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. But these things are true. Now, after Luke's introduction, the good doctor turns his attention really to common language. So he's dealt with that in his opening, and so he wants everything to be decent in order, I mean, right to the T. This professional man will understand all of this meets that high criteria. And then he turns to common language and the facts of the miraculous birth and life of John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 1. And he also shows the divine connection between John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the things that were planned by the sovereign God for both on earth. Further, the divine and miraculous conception of the forerunner being John the Baptist, showing his great miracle of conception was but a foreshadowing of that which was yet to come in the conception of Mary as she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost of God. So one is out of this world, and the other is even higher than that. In the first conception with John, it was such a noted miracle, and it was. Everybody in that part of the country, everybody heard about it, and they wondered at those things and glorified God in it. But if that's such a noted miracle, how much the more would the Lord be in the second miracle? A miracle of miracles. A miracle of miracles. This is the Christmas story. It's the miracle of miracles, the story of all stories, the greatest of all greats of all time is this story of His wondrous love. And a sweet young lady, a virgin, not a maiden. You can be a young girl and not be a virgin. This is a virgin and a maiden and a God-fearing young lady right in the middle of it all. Right in the middle. Right in the middle. So the title of the message, of course, is Mary's Marvel and Her Miracle. Now let's continue on in verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God. So they were God-fearing people now, mom and dad, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, no babies, because Elizabeth was barren. And they both were now well stricken in years. They are both old. And it came to pass while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, outside. And there appeared unto him, this priest, an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, that's Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. That's a kind way of saying she's an old woman. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak, which is what that means, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people awaited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. What's taking him so long? And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoneth unto them and remaineth speechless. And it came to pass, as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, his job was finished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. How about that? This old lady conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my approach from among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, now, here's the reference story, thy cousin Elizabeth, her mother's sister. She hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 39, And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. We'll be back on that tonight. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice. You got something to say? Say it loud. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then we have the great song, the praise of Mary, that's presented to us in her song. So this is Mary's song. And Mary said, My soul, in other words, that which comes from the inside of me, this is just something I'm lip singing to. This is something that's coming from my inner being. She says, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. That includes us as well. He has showed strength with his arm and hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months. So it was an extended stay. Well, wouldn't you want to hang around? I said, wouldn't you want to hang around? Man, this is where God's doing something. You would want to hang around. 3 months and then return to her own house. Verse 57. Now Elizabeth, full time. All you pregnant ladies, say amen. Full time. Full time came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. You're going to have your daddy's name. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. You got to know who you are and who do you belong to. They said unto her, There is none kindred called by his name. And they made signs to his father that he would have him called, and he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John, and they marveled all. And his mouth was open immediately. Now all this time he couldn't speak, and all of a sudden God gave him his tongue back. And his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. Now listen, all these sayings, this whole story was noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. It went out far and wide. News flash. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. You all heard the Christmas song, What Child Is This? But I'm telling you, of this child it could be said, and it was said, the same thing. What child is this? What child is this? This is the miracle child. John the Baptist was a miracle child. You get that? John the Baptist was a miracle child because his mother, Elizabeth, was past the years of childbearing. I don't need flashcards to try to help you understand that. She's past her time. And God says, she may be past her time, but she's not past my time. I've got a timetable in all of this. And it's going to be done according to my word. What manner of child is this? If you think that the story of John the Baptist is impossible, Wait till you hear about Mary's baby. See? This is intended to build us up to see what wonder could come after this. Well, an even greater story. It goes from great to greatest. Now, look in the beginning of verse 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets. In other words, there's a record that this would take place, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God. Say amen. Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Now that's a lot of reading, but that's a lot of story. Right there, all packed all in there. Now we have two layers presented. Don't you like layered cake? This is two layers. Two layers presented here. The greater and the greatest. The greater being John the Baptist. The greatest, though, is foreshadowed in the greater, and that's the greatest. And the greatest of all times is not Ali, sorry. The greatest is the Lord our God. Now, the two layers. The first layer, of course, we have the parents and the birth of John the Baptist. The second layer, we have the parents, stepdad, but parents of the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary, of course, and Joseph. Both layers have divine miracles, supernatural events that take place. Lastly, both were prophesied in the Holy Scriptures. In other words, this is not a surprise. This was already ordained of God from way back there in times past. And that prophet's taught all about it, and now here it is coming to pass all this time later. People say, oh, it will never come to pass. Don't bet your boots, you'll lose your boots. All right, you'll lose your boots. Now, Zacharias is a priest, and he's an old man, well past his prime, and he's married to an old woman. We wouldn't call her that to her face, but we'll call it to her now. An old woman by the name of Elizabeth, and they had never had a baby. Never had a baby. Because Elizabeth couldn't have babies. She was barren. And everybody in town knew that she was barren, and they even referred to as the barren one. She's the barren one. She's not blessed. She's barren. Now, they wanted to have a baby. I said they wanted to have a baby. Far better than many couples I read about today. They're saying couples today, they don't even want to have children. That's their great loss and the great loss to humanity, I'm telling you. Have children. Children are a blessing. But they prayed, and they prayed for a baby. But she never had a baby. She was barren all those many years. I'm sure she cried herself tonight. At night she cried herself to sleep, praying and asking God, begging God for a baby. But no baby. But here in their old age, well past her time to be able to even to have a baby, guess what happens? Honey, you're not going to believe this. Honey, you're not going to believe this, but I'm pregnant. And they go back and forth for a couple of months, you know. Then the evidence shows up. Come on. The self-evident. I'm not going to go there. That's enough. God came and gave him a vision from a special holy angel. Now both this man, this priest and his wife were fine, God-fearing people. They were God-fearing people who walked in the way of the Lord with their integrity. And though they were old, and Elizabeth, your wife, past childbearing, bearing the boot, this angel said, you're going to have a baby boy. You're going to have a baby boy. And that boy, that baby is going to bring you so much joy. It's going to be off the charts. He's going to bring you so much joy. His name, by the way, is going to be John. John. He'll be a great man, a servant of the Lord, and he's going to cause many people to turn to the Lord. He's going to bring many families together who are fractured, daddies who are fractured from mamas, and mamas fractured from babies, and babies who fractured. He's going to bring families together. And would to God we had more of that going on today. He fulfilled the plan of God, and he would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, as good as a believer as this priest was, he was doing his duty. He's in the temple. He's doing everything he's supposed to do. He didn't believe the angel. He didn't believe him. Didn't believe him. No, I just that's just too far off the reservation. It's too impossible. He didn't believe him. It's in the book. He didn't believe him. And he had the nerve to say he didn't believe it. Now, sometimes I might not believe, but I'm a little hesitant about telling anybody, you know. He let it all out when he probably should have kept his mouth shut. Look at verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. He said, Mr. Angel, you must have the wrong couple cornered here. I am an old man, and my wife, yes, sir, my wife, God bless her heart, but you know, sir, I've seen her like you haven't seen her, and she's an old woman. And she's just too old, you know, sir. She is past childbearing age. She is barren and has been barren all of her adult life. We've tried, sir, to have a baby. We've tried and we've prayed hard, awful hard, sir. So you must just have the wrong couple. You know what the angel said? He said, I am Gabriel. That was his answer. Kind of a different answer, isn't it? Well, angels kind of talk different ways. He said, I am Gabriel. In other words, I am one of God's elect angels. And sir, I don't lie. I am Gabriel. And I just told you exactly what God told me to tell you. And I don't lie, and my boss doesn't lie. And you didn't believe me. He's put off. He's put off. Now, being the fact that he said, I am Gabriel, it may not mean that much to you, but anyone who was a priest in Israel would know of the great angels of Almighty God. And by the way, he would know of this same angel in his appearance to the great man, Daniel, that great prophet, many years ago. All the priests would know that story very, very well, like the back of their hand. And all of a sudden, this same angel is standing before him and tells him what's going to happen, and he doesn't believe him. He doesn't believe him. He says in verse 19, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak unto thee and show thee these things. Now, he should have believed every word, right? Every single word should have believed. But because he said you didn't, now you're not going to be able to talk out loud. You're going to be dumb until all of this is fulfilled, and you're going to have overwhelming proof to the fact. That's exactly what happened. John was born, his tongue turned loose, and he praised the Lord before everyone. And everyone in that part of the country heard about the miracle and rejoiced with these fine believers. In verse 66, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. The impossible had happened at the hand of Almighty God. Mary, in the meanwhile, is coming forth with her even greater story. As great as this story is, it's but a warm-up. Listen, as great as that story is, it's but a warm-up of the greatest story ever told. And that's of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pick back up, if for the sake of time, at verse 30 of chapter 1. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel. Now this is different than Zacharias' question. She said, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I've never been with a man. So she's not saying, I don't believe this. She's asking, how is this going to unravel? You see the difference? Zacharias the priest should have believed Gabriel, but he didn't. And God said, all right, slap him dumb. Slap him dumb. Whack! He goes dumb. Mary, here's the same angel, comes in, says, this is going to happen. And she says, not that I don't believe, but how is this going to happen? See the difference? She believes. Mary, little Mary, she believes. She believes. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Look at verse 35. Really interesting. The angel answered and said unto her, I'm going to explain this now, sweetheart, right? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Now, let me tell you something you're not aware of. That this God who's ordering all of these things does the impossible. And he says, now, in reference to that, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, your mother's sister, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. Oh, she knows everything about it. Aunts always tell their, you know, they tell everything. They tell everything. She has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her. Now she's come out, right? 5 months she hid. 6 months she's out in more ways than one. Who is called barren. Here's the point. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. There's the story. That's it. That's it. With God, nothing shall be impossible. She didn't fully understand, but she believed. She surrendered to God's plan. She surrendered to God's plan, even though getting pregnant, not having a husband, put her in a poor light. She still submitted to God's plan for her life. In other words, she was willing to suffer being wrongfully accused and do right by God. She praised God for using her, not a sinless one, as a particular church likes to try to put forward, but as an humble maiden. She praises God for using her in his plan. She praises God publicly when others are snickering at her privately behind her back. She still praises God. She sang aloud with a great song of praise. She did wonder at the miracle that God was doing. And she as well provided an eyewitness account of the first Noel. Mary lived for the rest of her life on nothing shall be impossible with God. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Now, with me, you're going to hit a ceiling pretty quick. But with God, nothing shall be impossible with God. Now listen, if you can get a hold of this in your life, that you know God and you know His Son, Jesus Christ, what say ye of Christ? And you get a hold of the fact that nothing shall be impossible with God. You can have victory in every area of your life. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Can God save us from our sins? Of course so. Of course, of course. Can God help us in our marriage? Of course. Can God help us with our children? Of course. Can God help us with our church? Of course. Can God help us in our country? Of course. Nothing is impossible with God. You get a hold of that, and that will, listen, that will be one of the best Christmas presents you'll ever give yourself for the rest of your life. I serve the living God, and nothing, nothing is impossible with Him. Let's stand.